Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan. I'm David Todd. Go to Steelers Depot to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. It's Season 8, Episode 4. And Dave, we had our first, we'll call it real football last night, as they had the Hall of Fame game in Canton between the Cowboys and the Cardinals. And the Steelers were a week away from live action. Let me ask you this question. So far through camp, they reported a week ago, whose name haven't you heard?
You Steeler wise?
Yeah.
Wow. So I guess several on, you know, are we talking relative players?
Guys who, you know, have a chance to make the 53 who are flying under the radar, you know, Javon Hargrave or maybe Marquise Pouncey, you know, I mean, not being heard from is not necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, I'm just curious, like, you know, you're paying attention on a daily basis. Who's kind of flying under the radar?
Well, I mean, obviously a few of those starters, Alex and I don't talk about much, you know, even Ben Roethlisberger, Pouncey, DeCastro. I think Alex mentioned Marcus Gilbert last night that, you know, he had a good day yesterday. You know, outside of the kind of, you know, perceived locks, if you will, you know, Darius Hayward Bay is a guy that I don't think we're hearing too much about right now. You know, when it comes to the wide receiver position, you know, DeMarcus Ayers really can be added to that list as well. Wow. Let's see. Defensive side of football. You know, Daniel McCullers we talk about, but for the wrong reasons, I think. Not a lot of positive there. Steven Johnson, you know, a guy who, special teams player, potential backup linebacker on this roster. Arthur Motes is another guy that we're not talking a whole heck of a lot. I mean, we're mentioning his name, but, you know, not primary, you know, guy in the conversation. Then, of course, you know, guys like Cinquez Golson for obvious reasons because he's out injured right now as well. So, you know, not counting the guys way on the back end of the roster, the undrafted free agents, I would say those would be the names.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, the excuse me, when we started the offseason, one of the things that you and I talked about at the very beginning, and I still think it's an interesting conversation, are three guys, two of whom you just mentioned, three veterans who have been kind of mainstays, very, very good locker room guys, Darius Hayward Bay, Arthur Motes, and William Gay, as, you know, are they going to make the squad or not? And I was probably more inclined to say, you know, they wouldn't than you were. I think you felt like, you know, all three were probably going to make the team, and I felt like, you know, Motes was the most likely of the three to make it. I felt like William Gay might be on the bubble, but maybe Gay's not on the bubble. That was probably wrong. He's probably on. And Hayward Bay certainly is kind of a bubble guy, depending on what happens with Justin Hunter. What are your thoughts on those three guys today?
Well, you know, Gay, all along, I've you know, considered Gay, being a surprise cut. And I think with a weekend of training camp right now, we see, you know, Cameron Sutton sidelined and Cinquez Golson sidelined. You know, there's just really no other option in the slot now at this point. I mean, you obviously hope Cameron Sutton will get back on the field sooner rather than later just to start learning some stuff. But you know, I think it's far-fetched to think he'll be your opening day slot corner. I mean, he's obviously going to be on the 53 barring not being IR. Cinquez Golson remains, you know, the huge question mark at this point. So, you know, I think Gay's there. Now, of those three players, I think I ranked them as far as likely to be on the roster was Gay and then Darius Hayward Bay, and then Arthur Motes has always been on the bottom of those three for me. Now, Justin Hunter really has seemingly had a great camp to start with. And, you know, now the question becomes, look, we have four locks, right? Our four locks are Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Eli Rogers, and Juju Smith. It would be, you could, I mean, is Sammy Coates isn't a lock, right?
He's not, but I would be shocked if he's not on the team. I mean, I think he's pretty damn close to a lock. I mean, I'd put him at 90%.
I'm way away from that 90%, especially hearing what Justin Hunter has done so far. But with that said, all right, who are you choosing between Sammy Coates? How many do you think they're going to keep? They're obviously going to keep five at a minimum.
But yeah, I mean, I just DeMarcus Ayers, I really do like DeMarcus Ayers. I liked what I saw last year. The fact that he can go to the practice squad probably hurts his case to make the 53 a little bit. He's got to win the punt return job. They got to give him a chance, and he's got to show something. If he takes a punt back for a touchdown and, has three others in the preseason where he gets 20 yards, I feel like he'll make the team. I don't, Kobe Hamilton, I don't think makes the team. So that gives us eight. And then it's, Hayward Bay and Justin Hunter. I don't know what to think about those guys. I mean, if Hayward Bay is just going to make it as a special teams guy, then he's not going to make it, because Sammy Coates showed he could play competent special teams last year. I mean, he did some decent things on special teams. So his upside as a receiver is obviously greater than Hayward Bay. So I at the end of the day, I love the guy, and the fact that he did what he did, chasing down that guy in the Cleveland game to stop a touchdown return, an interception return for a touchdown, or whatever it was, that kind of stuff keeps you around. And we know how much Mike likes him. But I feel like at the end of the day, when it comes to push to shove, he's not going to make it. So I got two out of there. And then Justin Hunter, I don't know what to make of Justin Hunter. I really don't. I know he's looked great in camp. I haven't seen him play enough. I know he's a big receiver. I don't know. I think the answer is going to be six or seven. And I think Ayers has a decent chance to be six, but he's the third slot guy. So when's he ever going to get on the field? So, I think it's between he and Hunter. That's really what I think it's going to come down to, and they're obviously very different receivers.
Let me run this by you, and it's not that I think that it's going to happen, but if I don't throw it out there as a possibility, people will say, well, you never threw this out as a possibility. You got to think ahead of our listeners, David, because they're very smart, and they won't let us get away with too terribly much. They'll surely call us when we get something wrong, but they'll never tell us when we get something right. But we're all joking aside, Sammy Coates is still on active PUP. He's the only player on active PUP. There's no sign right now that he's close to coming off PUP. What about the potential chances of Sammy Coates opening up the regular season, still on going from active to reserve PUP, and then making a decision on him, later on in the season, after he misses the specific amount of time he has to stay out there, is that an option to possibly consider? Obviously, we don't know the shape of his knee or whatnot, but I mean, even if he started, I mean, he's not close to returning right now, and I mean, he's probably going to miss at least the first two preseason games. Are you going to really try to get him back for the third and fourth preseason game at that point? Is that even an option to consider, him starting a regular season on active?
Well, that's a good question. And I think the right question is, you're not going to rush him back. It's if he's healthy enough to play in the third and fourth preseason games, then yeah, you bring him back and have him play and have him earn his spot on the team. I don't think you purposely delay anything to manage it that way. Now, if it's a close call, then maybe you do it that way. But I mean, look, I guess he's been doing some light running. If he's been doing light running, we're a week away from the first preseason game, 2 weeks from number two. I got to think if he's doing light running now, he's going to be ready for the second preseason game, maybe not to play in it, but to be able to participate in practice. So I would let the medical issues just present themselves when he's ready to come off the PUP. If it's not week four, if it's week four, I might do what you just said. But if it's before the last preseason game, I bring him back and have him make his spot.
Here's an interesting dynamic to that. Well, for one, if he's healthy, you know, prior to the start of the regular season, fully healthy, and not activated off of PUP and then moved to reserve PUP, I'm sure his agent would probably go ballistic. But but with that said, remember the interesting dynamic here. Sammy Coates, well, I mean, he is in the third year of his contract, so it's a different.
Yeah,
it's a different dynamic than per se what happened with Mike Adams a few years ago. Remember, he was in the final year of his contract,
right?
And because he spent his that
back
whole
injury,
he spent the whole season on reserve PUP. His contract told. Well, it's a different dynamic with Sammy, obviously, because he's in year. In year three here. So look, I don't think that's going to ultimately happen, but you know,
let's say that doesn't happen. To go back to the question you asked me, you answer it now. They keep 6, 7. Who's not making it?
I can't see them keeping more than 6. I know Alex has made some good arguments for them keeping 7. I can't see them keeping 7, but I can definitely see them keeping 6. So you obviously got the 4 we mentioned there. I think Justin Hunter, barring a huge collapse right now, is going to make it. So he's 5. You know, man. It's going to be tough. You know, if Ayers, as you said, and has been stated several times during the offseason, if Ayers can't win the punt return job, he really is not really going to do you much of any good, I don't think, because you got 2 slot guys in Juju and Eli Rogers there. So I think you kind of covered there. So then it becomes a battle between Darius Heyward-Bey and Sammy Coates. And you know, as big a special team, I flip-flop back and forth on these 2 guys, but I think if Sammy Coates can prove that he's healthy, man, I think I might keep him because you know, he's made a few more plays than Darius Heyward-Bey. What does Darius Heyward-Bey really give you on offense? Now, keep in mind that he is probably the better guy to put out there in the slot to help with the blocking and running, but you know, in the run game, but you know, hopefully you're never going to get into a situation where you need that. So, as you stated, are you going to keep him merely as a special teams guy at his age? Or are you going to go with potentially maybe getting another year and a half of something out of Sammy Coates? So, I guess now at this point I would lean to Sammy Coates, but that's only if he shows us something in, let's say, the final 2 preseason games.
And then in the secondary – and, you know, that all plays into how many running backs they're going to keep. And, you know, we're both assuming 3. So what does that mean for Fitz versus, Nile Davis on kick returns, that type of stuff? What about defensive backs? What are your thoughts? I mean, you've got your starting 4. You've got, you know, I mean, we can go through the names, but Cam Sutton's making the team. William Gay, we decide, is making the team. We've got what do you feel like, you know, Robert Golden's making the team? What do you feel like, so that we just got to 7 quickly? What about the rest of the group?
Well, here's my locks right now as we enter Friday Night Lights. Artie Burns, Ross Cockrell, William Gay, Cody Sensabaugh, Cameron Sutton, Mike Mitchell, Sean Davis, Robert Golden, and Jordan Dangerfield. I mean,
so we added you added Sensabaugh and Dangerfield to get to 9, but you left. Did you leave one all? How many did you have there, 8 or 9?
Okay, let's see. Burns, Cockrell, Gay, Sensabaugh, Sutton, Mitchell, Davis, Golden, Dangerfield. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 9. Now, can you really see him keeping 11 total defensive backs?
No. No, they got too many linebackers and you know, and wide receivers and other things. So you're not keeping 11. You're keeping 10. 10's the likely number.
And I mean, can you name me a safety that's even in the running here? I mean,
I cannot. I really can't.
Because since Damian Stafford decided not to report, he was the only one maybe that we could throw in there. Apologies to the Jacob Hagan fan club, but I mean, he's really going to need an injury, I think, or something in order to make it. So I think I'll be surprised if they keep more than four safeties. So realistically, I think you have guys like Mike Hilton, Cinquez Golson, and Brian Allen, the three battling for potentially one spot, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Allen and Golson.
Let me tell you, there's a lot of buzz about Mike Hilton.
I can't tell you anything about him. Tell me about him.
Undersized corner / safety out of Ole Miss. I think spent some time with New England. Hasn't latched on, obviously, but. Man, he's been, you know, with Golson and Cameron Sutton sidelined with injuries. You know, he's running that second team slot, you know, right now, and really has been most of camp there behind Gay. And you know, Tunch has been talking him up. Alex has been talking him up. He really is making a strong run at this. I mean, people say Dave has an agenda against Cinquez Golson. Look, nobody, I don't have an agenda against him. I just can't argue for his case right now.
No, I mean, it's hard to argue any guy's case who hasn't been on the field for 3 years. Look, I mean, you get drafted in the second round for a reason, but at the end of the day, you got to be on the field. Now, I've been hopeful for Cinquez Golson for an extended period of time here, but it's, you got to be on the field, and hopefully for him, he gets on the field by the, you know, as soon as the second preseason game is played, because if not, you know, he's really, it's going to be really tough for him to make the team. I mean, he's just got to be on the field.
And with Brian Allen, you know, the rookie fifth round pick out of Utah, all I have to go on is just the practice reports right now.
Yeah, and he's a guy, you obviously look at him as a, physically as a high upside guy. So what all he has to do in camp, I mean, and look, we know the history of Steeler fifth round picks, you know, who are corners who didn't make this team, starting with, you know, going to Terry Hawthorne. We can go through the list. He just has to show that he has promise. And maybe at the end of the day, because they have so many wide receivers and running backs and you've got all these other position issues, maybe at the end of the day you say, and again, we go back to this point, and we can go back to Doran Grant, and we can go back to Anthony Ciccolo. You can probably safely put him on waivers at the final cutdown and get him to the practice squad because he's not going to get claimed, just like none of the other guys get claimed.
He'll be the guy everybody's talking about, though, right?
Right. It'll be the same conversation we have every year. He'll be the guy that, you know, can't risk it, can't put him on. Yeah, you can put him on, and he's going to get through.
Now, obviously, you wonder, come the middle of the season, will he get plucked, you know, from perhaps a practice squad? But, look, I mean, if we're going to assume that the Steelers are going to keep 10 defensive backs in total, and if I already have 9 listed as locks, keep in mind, I obviously am not out at practices and seeing anything, and there's no preseason games being played right yet. I'm going to predict Mike Hilton to be number 10 right now, and that's a flip from my pre-training camp 53-man roster, whereas I had Brian Allen, I think, making it as
yeah, because Newton, you and I don't know Mike Hilton from Mike Smilton.
Other than his college tape, we'll see. And I think Mike Hilton, you know, talking to Alex, I think last night, Mike Hilton's got some special teams ability to him too. He's a physical kind of, you know, short, squatty, you know, physical player. So definitely a guy to watch right there.
Yeah. And again, we'll just say one more time, the least important time that's happened so far, or that will happen the entire season in terms of all this stuff, is the stuff that's happened so far. It's not meaningless, but it's the least important. It gets progressively more important as we move forward here from kind of this point on tonight. Tonight will matter a little bit. And then obviously getting ready for the game in a week from now, finally, you know, being, you know, as Mike talks about, in the arena with the lights on against somebody else. So, you know, we'll kind of go from there.
While we're kind of on the subject, let's run through the guys that I have locks right now, and you tell me if any of these guys should not be on my lock list. Okay.
All right.
Quarterbacks: Roethlisberger, Jones, and Dobbs.
Correct.
Running backs: Le'Veon Bell, James Conner.
Correct.
Fullback: Roosevelt Nix.
Correct.
Tight end: Jesse James, Xavier Grimble, David Johnson.
Yep.
Wide receiver: Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Eli Rogers, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, you know, as I said, I'd be pretty damn close to putting Sammy on there, but yeah, I'll go with those four.
All right. Offensive line: Pouncey, DeCastro, Foster, Gilbert, Villanueva, Finney, Hubbard, and Hawkins.
Yep.
All right, so that's 21 offensive locks that I have. Now, let me tell you the guys that I have in play for roster spots on offense: Darius Heyward-Bey, Justin Hunter, DeMarcus Ayers, Nile Davis, and Fitzgerald Toussaint.
I think that's right. I can't think of anybody, you know. I mean, there's obviously another offensive lineman in play or two, I would think, right?
You think they're going to keep more than eight?
Well, in play, I don't think they will, but
let's say barring injury,
I don't think they're going to keep more than eight. No.
Okay.
Who is in play for nine?
Man, either Mahalik or
Mahalik, right? Mahalik's got, I would think Mahalik's in play for a roster spot. Now he's a bit screwed by the fact, I mean, here, all these guys are helped by the fact that there are only three tight ends. And they're all hurt by the fact that there are 125 wide receivers and 80 running backs. I mean, you know, so Mahalik is a guy who has a chance to make this team.
Well, I would think he would have to beat out a guy like Hawkins or Hubbard. And I think
you're not going to beat out Hawkins. That's for sure.
Okay. And then that leaves Hubbard who, you know, is a swing.
He could beat him out.
Yeah. Okay. I'll chalk that up to you having a disagreement to thinking Mahalik should be in the in playlist. All right, defensive locks: Cameron Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Javon Hargrave, Tyson Alualu, LT Walton.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the question there is Big Dan and, you know, what his role is. And I mean, I think LT did enough last year to ensure his spot. I know your in-play guys will be you'll have a couple defensive linemen on there, but okay, I'll go with that.
Okay, just to finish up that thought, the in-play that I have are McCullers, Daniel McCullers, and Johnny Maxey.
Yeah, Johnny Maxey has to be on that list.
Okay, and they're going to probably keep six, so...
it probably helps Big Dan and Maxey probably goes to the practice squad. So likely, if you were guessing today,
I don't know. The reports from McCullers running way deep in the lines right now. So I would hedge to Maxey. Here's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping Steve McGlinnon gets cut by the Jets.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, I've wrote about that already once during this offseason. Now I don't know if that's ultimately going to happen, but how nice would that be to get Big Steve back in the fold as your number six for one more season?
Yeah, he'd be a perfect fit.
But you know, outside of McCullers and Maxey being in the run, really none of these undrafted guys really seem to be in play here. Okay, continuing on outside linebacker locks: James Harrison, Bud Dupree, Anthony Ciccolo, T.J. Watt are my four that are locks. Obviously, the Steelers will keep either five or six at the position.
Yeah, you know, as much as I talk about it, I think Arthur Motes is probably pretty close to a lock. But okay, I mean, you know, Motes or Ciccolo.
Ciccolo, because of his special teams play and because he was running ahead of Motes at the end of last season, I would be absolutely shocked. I'd be more shocked, I think, if Ciccolo didn't make the roster than if Arthur Motes didn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
Now, obviously, you know, you get into the whole Arthur Motes versus Keon Adams battle at this point. And if Keon Adams can show you anything as far as upside and special teams play, personally, I'm keeping him over a guy like Motes. Now, obviously, a lot of people are going to be emailing and letting me know if Arthur Motes makes it as the fifth, and I'm not going to rule out the possibility of that happening. But you know, I'm rooting for Keon Adams to win that. And really, those two outside linebackers, the only two. And look, they could keep six, I guess. You know, depending on how the numbers fall, they could keep six.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, that'll cost Stevie Johnson his job, but okay.
Or L.J. Fort, you know, one of those two. All right, inside linebackers, locks, Ryan Shazier, Vince Williams, Tyler Matakavich, and I have in play L.J. Fort and Stevie Johnson.
I think that's right.
Because none of these other guys, Kelsey, the undrafted, and Matt Galambos out of Pitt, really.
You know what's really interesting about this whole thing is that there is – and obviously, again, we'll preface this with the fact that you and I aren't there and they haven't played a game yet. But there's nothing interesting about camp in terms of, you know, everything we've talked about in from the day after the draft. The conversation hasn't changed, meaning basically nothing's happened. Nobody has – there's no out-of-the-blue guy at camp. Unfortunately, there's been no significant injury where a guy, you know, a roster spot is created because a central guy gets hurt or some guy – although you mentioned Hilton, that's a guy, I guess that would be, he would be the one guy that, you know, I couldn't have named 3 weeks ago is now in a conversation.
True statement, you know, and outside of Hunter probably being the other camp darling.
Yeah.
But as Alex keeps trying to remind us, this is a former second round draft pick, 6'4" with speed. Should we expect anything better? I mean, anything more or anything less than him?
Potentially being good.
Potentially being good, and we would be extremely disappointed if he wasn't probably shining during training camp, right?
Yeah, and again, I mean, I don't mean to dismiss what's happened over the past week, but it's as close to meaningless as it gets. Now they're playing, so it's meaningful, but everything that continues to happen going forward will be more important.
Right. What you're basically saying is, you know, after the draft was over, we could have had no terrible podcast. The only new player was.
I didn't.
Oh yeah. Well, that wasn't a backhanded shot, but in other words, the only new player we'd be talking about, right, would be the Mike Hilton podcast right now.
Right.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, training camp, if you've done your homework right, should be affirmation of what you think you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point.
And now...
Give me your DBs. You locked nine. We went through. We started with this, really.
Right. My DB locks are Burns, yeah. Burns, Cockrell, Gay, Sensabaugh, Sutton, Mitchell, Davis, Golden, Dangerfield. And
so 21 locks on offense, and we threw an extra name in to make it 26 in play. How many locks on defense did you have?
All right, I have 21 personally locks on defense and 21 locks on offense. So that's 42, and our three specialists are set. So 42 and 3 is 45. That leaves eight roster spots, right?
And you had... I threw you one extra one, so that was five on offense, and how many on defense?
Well, here is who I have in play on defense: McCullers, Maxey, Motes, Adams, L.J. Fort, Stevie Johnson, Mike Hilton, Cinquez Golson, and Brian Allen.
Nine. So nine guys on defense, and four or five on offense.
I had personally five on offense,
and I threw one more in, so six.
So 15 guys battling for eight roster spots, and that's not a true number because of positional groups.
Yeah, that, you know, 15 is probably a few more than I would have guessed, but you know, that's right. So we're basically saying an extra. So we get 60 guys for 53 spots, knowing that some of those guys are eligible for the practice squad. You know, I imagine from, you know, you have to assume if we were going to guess from here to there, you know, you're going to have a guy or two go on the injured reserve for the season. A couple guys are going to get hurt. So it is kind of the group of guys that we really have been talking about. And it just goes back to the fact, Dave, that this is a veteran team with young talent that's turned over the defense, that is as talented and cap, cap friendly situation as they've been. You know, I've said it a couple times now. They're in as good shape as they have been, in my mind, since they last made the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, I don't want to repeat what we say, you know, every podcast. But again, you look at the Steelers and you say, you know, if the Patriots weren't in the conversation, you'd say this is maybe head and shoulders. It's the head and shoulders of the best team in the NFC North, the AFC North, and the second best team in the AFC. And if something goes their way or they figure out a way to slow down Tom Brady, you know, they should be playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, reload, don't rebuild. And they definitely have reload. I mean, just look at, I mean, there's obviously going to be some new pieces on defense this year. You know, Lawrence Timmons gone. You could go through this thing a little bit deeper on the depth chart.
I mean, look, Hayward missed half the season to get him back. I mean, that's adding something.
Right, absolutely. And, you got your top three draft picks last year going to have a year, you know, a season experience underneath them now. And you would obviously expect them to take a move forward. You go out there and you add a veteran guy like Sensabaugh. You add a veteran guy like Alualu. We'll see what happens with Justin Hunter. And then we'll see what happens with Nile Davis. Boy, you want to talk about an under-the-radar four additions on the cheap. I mean, if you look league, if you would have took the fan base temperature back in April after those four moves were made, people are probably shaking their head, right? But, I mean, the further, a weekend of training camp now, I mean, Alualu's staying healthy and doing some things during training camp. Sensabaugh, Tunch Yokin can't stop talking about Cody Sensabaugh. Justin Hunter, obviously one of the camp darlings right now. And then really the most questionable of the four, in my opinion, I've just never been a huge Nile Davis fan, except when he's busting off a 80, 90-yard kickoff return. I think he's the biggest question mark of the four. But I mean, if those four end up making a roster this year, they're going to see playing time.
I'm with you.
You know, even Justin Hunter to some degree will probably get some snaps, you know, red zone or what have you, and a chance to make significant contributions. I mean, obviously, we hope that we're not 8 weeks into the season talking about Justin Hunter playing 200 snaps, you know. But, you could see him 6, 7, 8 snaps a game, maybe inside the red zone. If there's one thing that we've learned about him, not only throughout his career, but in training camp so far, is it looks like he's a legitimate red zone threat, at 6'4", whatnot, and leaping ability. And, boy, wouldn't that be a welcome sight?
Yeah, for sure. Is ESPN doing their whole show again from Latrobe?
Yeah, they're going to be out there, and I don't know if you watched it last year. I got to be honest with you. I stay glued to Sirius Satellite Radio because of Kerwin and Jim Miller always mix in some pre-recorded interviews that took place earlier in the day with Colbert and players and Art Rooney. I mean, AR2 and – I always stay glued to them. Now I'll have the ESPN coverage on while I'm listening to that, and I'll obviously tape it as well too in case I miss anything. But they can't show; they're not allowed to film any plays.
Right? Is SVP, is Scott there? Do you know?
I don't know, David. I know Ryan.
Last year, he was in town, and I'm a big fan of him, so he generally can find pertinent and relative stuff to talk about. But yeah, I'm with you on Kerwin and Miller.
And Ryan Clark is in town with ESPN because he gave an interview to Tunch Yokin this morning, and Tunch and Wolf on their show this morning. So he's definitely in town. I'm sure we're going to see him on the TV tonight. And, I'd much rather, when you talk about analysts and all, I like former players, and especially one, that's played for the Steelers, be able to hopefully talk a little bit scheme or whatnot and pros and cons of especially the position group that they played. So, I'll have it on. I'm not discounting whatsoever, but I was less impressed impressed with what they did last year. And I know, of course, you are a bigger fan of Van Pelt than probably I am, for sure. But I'll have Kerwin and Miller on Sirius for sure, mainly because of the interviews and all.
Okay, so the big news out of NFL camps, I mean, we've seen some guys get dinged up, this and that. Obviously, very interesting day yesterday with the news on Kaepernick. First, no structural damage, no big deal. Ryan Tannehill, of course, of the Dolphins. No big deal. And then all of a sudden, potentially out for the season. Kaepernick's name, we mentioned him briefly the other day in relation to the Ravens. So immediately his name comes up. Guys in the league now popping off about teams being cowards for not signing him. I mean, seriously, Dave, this is just a topic that it's to the point where I'm just bored with it. Kaepernick's an average at best NFL quarterback. Is he one of the 100 best in the world? Probably, yes, for sure. Does that mean a team should definitely sign him? No, it doesn't mean that. Do I think there's baggage? I don't know. I don't think there's a ton of baggage, but I don't think he's that good. So anyway, I thought the more interesting thing that came out of this Tannehill thing was that Jay Cutler's name popped up, and he apparently responded that he would put his Fox analyst role, where, you know, he was quickly elevated to, you know, kind of the top of the charts as a potential analyst for Fox, he'd put that on hold to potentially play for the Dolphins, which if I were Jay Cutler, I'd probably do the same thing. But what's your take? And I'll just throw in, you know, my standard thing here. I love Matt Moore, so, you know, I wouldn't be unhappy to see Matt Moore get the opportunity. What's your thought on what's going on in Miami?
You beat me to pointing out Matt Moore being one of your, you know, one of your, probably your favorite, favorite backup quarterbacks in the league. Look, I mean, Cutler has a history with Gase, right? You know, so it would be a smart fit. Can you win a Super Bowl? Can you win a Super Bowl with Matt Moore? Or can you even challenge the Patriots with Matt Moore? Who gives you the better shot, do you think?
They're not challenging the Patriots with Ryan Tannehill, so it doesn't, you know, that I think is irrelevant. But I think that's the right question is, you know, what's the talent level difference between Tannehill, Moore, and Cutler? I think you can win games with all three of them. I'm a bigger Cutler fan maybe than most people. I don't give a crap about the body language and the demeanor. I like his arm. But he didn't have the level of success that people expected from him. Neither has Tannehill. I don't know that I see a huge difference in any of the three, to be honest with you.
Personally, I would be more apt to see what Cutler has. And especially knowing the history he has with Gase, it just seems like the smartest fit. And then you go from there. Boy, if Colin Kaepernick can't get a job now, when can he get a job?
Yeah, I mean that's very true. I mean, look, it's not something that I spend my time worrying about or how the league's handled it, but clearly it is a big topic of conversation. And you would think, I understand not signing Colin Kaepernick to be your third string quarterback. At the same time, if you lost your starter, like with Teddy Bridgewater going down last year, or if this is the case with Ryan Tannehill, then I think it does come into play that he is, I would assume clearly the best guy out there and a guy capable of stepping in and being a starter.
Like the Patriots need any more help, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the Jets aren't going to – I mean, the Jets are going to be the Jets.
I was reading something that, you know, the starting jobs between – I like Josh McCown, but the starting jobs between Josh McCown and Christian Hackenberg. Christian Hackenberg? You kidding me?
And, I mean, Buffalo –
their season's over before it started.
I mean, Buffalo – I mean, what do you think about Buffalo from what you know right now? I mean,
at least there's a wild card element with some of the talent that the Bills have. I mean, I'm not all that impressed with their defense. We'll see what happens if they improve on the defensive side of the ball.
And always tough with a first year head coach too, right? You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
On top of it, so I mean, go ahead and give the Patriots the banner to get up and find room for up there, I guess, because barring Tom Brady and Gronk and 14 other guys going down injured, they're going to win that division again and probably for the next 4 years or whatever. By the way, how'd you celebrate Tom Brady's birthday?
That's pretty funny.
Jeez. I asked this on Twitter last night, kind of smart alecky, I guess, but how different would the world be today had the Falcons beaten the Patriots in the Super Bowl? I mean, and then of course somebody replied back, well, don't forget, had the Seahawks given the ball to Marshawn Lynch a few years ago, right, in the Super Bowl, you know, as well. I mean, I guess it goes back to, you know, boy, you know,
my coach is better than your coach.
Yeah. That, and you can probably circle five plays in every game, right?
I'll tell you one thing. My comment on all of that is Matt Ryan should stop saying that, you know, play calling and clock management didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah. And I guess Freeman should stop saying that he didn't miss a block either, right?
Yes.
I mean, oh Lord, it just, I mean, there's no reason to ponder it anymore. I mean, if Brady loses, you know, if it's in butts for candies and nuts, I mean, just how close they were to losing a couple Super Bowls in there, you know, what would the narrative be right now? I'm just angry because I couldn't get away from Tom Brady on the TV and his birthday yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I was able to. So,
there you go. All right, Friday Night Lights tonight, and hopefully, if Alex Cazora gets home in a decent, respectable hour, we'll be going over another podcast of what happened. Probably a shorter podcast than normal of what happened earlier in the day. In the meantime, let's see, Hall of Fame on anybody you looking forward to particularly to give the Hall of Fame speech this year, David? I mean, Warner's obviously going to be good, right?
Yeah, I would expect him and Jason Taylor to be good.
Tomlin, LaDainian, probably going to be good. I mean, really, it should be a good class. I mean, Morton Anderson, Taylor, who am I missing here? The offensive lineman going in. There is an offensive lineman going in this
year. Yeah.
I'm drawing. I'm going to have to pull up the Google.
I saw some of this last night.
So let's see, class of no sense spending time on people know who they are, but I'm looking forward to Warner most definitely talking Tomlinson. Oh, Terrell Davis, that should be an interesting speech as well too. Geez, I think that's where it ends right there, but that of course will be going on what, Saturday. They moved the Hall of Fame game up now, so I guess nothing to look forward to the rest of the weekend. And, of course, the Steelers will be playing the Giants' first preseason game a week from today, so we'll start setting you up on that starting on Monday. And with that said, you can follow me on Twitter, at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter, at David M. Todd. Follow the show, at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, please do so by going to SteelersDepot.com, hitting that donate button, upper right navigational bar. David, have a safe weekend.
Yeah, you as well, Dave. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.